Good morning.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. I'd like to welcome everybody for this fine, beautiful mountain morning during Lent. We'd like to recognize any visitors. If you are a visitor, we've got some little gifts for you, some greetings. Any visitors among us this morning? Right up front here. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. We would like everybody to register your attendance this morning in the maroon folders in the pews and get them passed across. Also, if you have any prayer concerns or celebrations that you would like to share with the congregation, you can fill out the little blue slips in the pews in front of you, and the ushers will pick those up during our first hymn. If you look in your bulletin, there is an insert that has the announcements in it. Would like to point out that we are continuing our Lenten luncheons throughout the month. Every Wednesday at noon, we'll have a lot of people here, and all of the other churches have come out to join us. It's one of the nice things about living in Cloudcroft. I was writing an article for the Mountain Monthly a few months ago about this man who's commuting back and forth to Washington on legal business, and on one of his train trips home, he sat down to a stranger, and they got to talking, and they started talking about their beliefs, and he realized that he did not know a whole lot about the beliefs that he purported to follow, his Christian beliefs. So he started doing some research and reading on his own, and the more he read, the more he realized that he did not know about his own religion. Eventually, he decided to write a little Christmas story about the Nativity and the three Magi, but the more he researched, he kept adding to the story, and after several years, he had a novel going, and he eventually got it published, and it was called Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. And that man was General Lew Wallace, who finished his novel while he was serving as the territorial governor of New Mexico. A lot of people don't know that. We have a best-selling governor. So you never know who that stranger you sit down next to might profoundly influence your spiritual growth. We always need to be mindful of that. Amen?
Amen.
So with that in mind, let's prepare our hearts and minds this morning for our worship service.
Thank you.
We will start with our opening words. You can please rise. Loving God, we come to you in worship and thanksgiving. You are greater than we can understand.
Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful truths you have shown to us in Jesus.
You are more loving than our hearts can respond to.
Help us to give ourselves to you in worship so that we may learn what you want us to be.
You are wiser than we can know.
Still our minds as we worship you, so that we can understand the things you are saying to us.
Loving God, in Jesus, you chose to come to the world in humility. You chose the path the world saw as foolish. You used what the world considered weak.
We worship and adore you. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 261, Lord of the Dance.
Continue with the words of confession. You may be seated. It's found in your bulletin. God, we humble ourselves now in confession. We want to be followers of Jesus, but we do not always want to follow Jesus. We don't even want to listen when the conversation turns toward darkness and death. We prefer to indulge ourselves. We are eager to put down our crosses. We cling tightly to our lies. We grasp at worldly rewards. Holy and loving God, forgive all our thoughts and actions that would protect us from the path of Christ.
Please turn to page 427. You'll see verses 1, 3, 5, and 6 of Where Across the Crowded Ways of Life.
Ushers, please come forward to accept our morning offering.
Before the choir starts, I'm going to make my announcement that I forgot. The day between the 28th and March 1st would have been BJ and Doc's 70th wedding anniversary. And that's why their daughter is also here. So I wanted to make that announcement. So it would have been a special day for them.
Thank you.
Okay, you may be seated for the prayer concerns. Well, it looks like the ones we have, the prayer requests, are all ones of celebration, so that's good. Deb Dalton, if you were here last week, had poked her eye, and so we were praying for Deb, and her eye is healing. It was a scratch, and I know she told me this morning that she was in the doctor's office for 3 hours, but it was worth it. So thanks for your prayers. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Chuck Smith has a couple of prayer requests. Celebration, he says that his sister Jean has a new great-grandson, Bentley. So congratulations to Jean. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Chuck also says that Samantha Hughes, the 5-year-old that we were praying for last week, is healed from strep and the flu. So that little 5-year-old girl is doing so much better. So praise God for that too. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you. We have so many things to be thankful for living here in this community, for all of the people in this congregation, for for our pastor. We thank you that she has had a chance to rest this week. We pray that she might come back to us safe and sound and full of new joy and restfulness and excitement to serve us and to serve you. So for her, we give you thanks. We thank you for healing and new birth. We thank you for an opportunity to serve you in everything that we do, that we can be your servants. And dear Lord, we pray for those who have yet to hear of your love for them, and we pray that you might use us to share your message with others. All this we pray in your loving name. Amen. And today we are celebrating communion during the Lenten season every Sunday, and Ed will be helping with that. But we also wanted to remind you that here in the Methodist Church that we do believe that this is not the church's table. This is God's table. And so it's not for us to say, you know, you can come or you can't come. Everybody is welcome to this table because God says it is open to everyone. And so please come to God's table. And today we will be celebrating by coming to the altar railing. Please kneel if you are able or wish to. If you're not, just stand and receive the bread that way. If you are gluten intolerant, we have rice wafers that you can receive. Just let me know, and we'll give you one of those. Hold your hand as a cradle to receive Christ that way. And we have individual cups today because of the flu season is still going on. So pick up your own cup that way, and fewer people will be touching it that way. Okay, so please come to the table when it is time.
We will continue with the Holy Communion reading.
Please stand as you are able.
Dear friends, we are going to Jerusalem with Jesus. He is our pardon, our healing, and our peace. We will suffer the trial with him, resisting evil. With him, we will walk the path to life, but come first to the table, where there is food for the journey. With hearts full of joy, we come, giving thanks to God, our Maker, and offering our praise.
Right to praise you, faithful God. Answer sin with grace. You guide our wayward steps towards home. You are mending for the broken, safety for the poor, belonging for the outcast, strength for the weak, and pardon for the sinner. Reveal your kindness in every sorrow, your mercy even in death. All our creatures see your works. We sing your steadfast love. We too declare our wonder and grace as with angels and saints we sing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering and giving thanks, now, O God, we remember Jesus. He fasted and prayed.
He was tempted and tried. He relied on you for everything.
He was obedient to you and scorned
by the powers of this world. He confounded the haughty and gave hope to the humble. He was betrayed and deserted. He died between thieves and was buried in a borrowed grave.
You gave him
new life. He lives even now. Our healer and friend.
He loved us well,
loved us to the end, and loves us still.
Even on the night of betrayal,
he ate supper with his friends.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Holy Spirit, come, make all things new. Bless this bread which you have given and human hands have made. Let it become for us the bread of life. Bless also this cup, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. Let it become for us the cup of salvation.
Bless us also who eat and drink, that in this sharing we may know the living Christ, who is with us.
True.
should count us worthy, Lord, to share this heavenly food. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread from heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us give thanks, merciful God, for gladness in this bread and cup, for love that cannot die, for peace the world cannot give, for joy in the company of friends, for the splendor of creation, and for the mission of justice. You have made your own. Give us the gifts of Holy Communion, oneness of heart, love for neighbors, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and life that never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, peace be unto you from God our Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's gospel is taken from John 2. As you notice, that's at the beginning of the Gospel of John. And I need some water for the journey also. So it's Passover time. It's nearing. The Passover of the Jews was near. And since Jesus was Jewish, he went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. So far, so good. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." What a rabble-rouser. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Well, in a former life, I was a first grade teacher. Didn't know that, did you? And one of my favorite authors was Peggy Parrish, who wrote the Amelia Bedelia books. Anybody familiar with the Amelia Bedelia books? Okay. There's a couple of you. Amelia Bedelia, she took everything literally. So she worked for the Roger family, and they would write her notes. Amelia Bedelia, when the sun comes into the window, draw the blinds. So she saw that note, and she would get out a pad of paper and a pencil, and she would draw the blinds. And then they would say, dust the furniture. And she read that on the note, and so she would go get some dust, and she would dust the furniture. And then they would write a note, and they would say, change the towels. Okay. So she would go to the one bathroom and get the towels, and she would take them over to the other bathroom and put them up there, and take those towels and put them in the other bathroom. She would change them. To her, it was logical. And that was Amelia Bedelia. So in this gospel lesson, Jesus did an Amelia Bedelia. You know, he said, in 3 days, you could tear down this temple, and on 3 days, I would build it up. I would raise it up, was the words that he used. Well, they took him literally that this building complex, which, by the way, was about 17 football fields big, that he would raise that up again. And it had taken 48 years to build this much, and it wasn't finished yet. And he was going to raise it up in 3 days. So they were taking him literally, like Amelia Bedelia would. And he was talking about the temple, his body. And he was talking about that in 3 days after his death, his body would be raised again. So what a good text for Lent. As we look forward to Easter and that raising up of Jesus' body 3 days after Good Friday. But there's a lot to unravel in this complex story, too. So let's take it apart a little bit. There's a lot of wordplay that Jesus is using. So he uses temple for body. And you know, the story is in all four Gospels. So that's one way we know that this is probably a pretty true story. But the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, put it at the end of their Gospels. You know, the story of Palm Sunday. Jesus comes riding in triumphantly, and palms are put down. And then Jesus goes to the temple after that, then knocks over the money changers and drives out the animals. And that's a good reason to have them killed. Well, John puts it at the beginning of the gospel and sort of squares off right away against the Jews, which means the authorities. Right away, who's Jesus against? The church authorities and what they were doing. It sort of sets the stage for the rest of John. That's why John puts it first. So we have a clue right from the start. What had Jesus been doing just before this? He had been partying. Where was he? Cana, He had changed water into wine, his first sign. Who was he? God. I am. That's the word for God. I'm God. And so then he brings his entourage, his mom, his family, his friends, his disciples, down to, or up to, because Jerusalem was built on a hill, to Jerusalem for Passover. So we know it was spring, and they were going to celebrate Passover. And in John, they go down to Jerusalem three times. That's why we think that Jesus had a three-year ministry. The other Gospels only have him going down to Jerusalem once, 1 year. So anyway, so they get down to Jerusalem, to this huge complex, and Jesus does something very strange. He throws out the money changers and the animal sellers, because that is very strange. Why does he do that? Yeah, everybody get out some money if you have any. Got any money on you? Don't worry, the offering plate's already gone by. You could bring it up and put it in if you want to. But get out some money. It won't hurt you. Or get out a coin if you're afraid of a bill. What's on this coin or this money? Well, not that. What's this? A picture. What's this? A picture. Is it a picture of God? No. It's a picture of a president. What do you think was on the coins of Jesus' time? Caesar. Who was Caesar? A god. So could you take that kind of money into the temple? No. So you had to change your coins into temple coins. So those money changers were important. They were there for a purpose. And here Jesus is throwing them out. That's strange, wouldn't you say? And then animals being sold. Well, the disciples and Jesus and Mary, where'd they travel from? Cana. Where's Cana? Next door? No, it was clear in the north. Were they going to bring a sheep? Bah. All the way from Cana and feed it? No. What'd they have to do? They had to buy an animal. And they were poor, so they probably couldn't buy a sheep for sacrifice. So they probably had to buy a dove, which was cheap. What'd Jesus do? Threw them out! And here they were just making a living. So I have a feeling that just maybe, knowing human nature, they were making a few more bucks than they should have been making. Those money changers and those sellers of animals. And maybe, just maybe, those people were scooting up into the sacred area of the temple instead of staying where they should have been. Because, you know, the temple was divided up into different areas. There was the area for the priest to be in. There was an area for the men to be in. There was an area for the women to be in. And there was an area for the Gentiles to be in. Well, who wants to stay where the Gentiles are? Let's go where the women are. Oh, better yet, let's go where the men are who have the money. So maybe they were doing that. They were sort of cheating a little bit. Maybe that's why Jesus was so upset with these people. And Jesus makes it clear whose temple this is. Whose is it? His Father's house. His temple, his body, whose is it? His Father's. So when we talk about a temple and we're talking about a building, whose is it? God's. When we're talking about the body and we're talking about a temple, whose is it? God's. That's right. So, you know, later, the disciples get it, and they realize that Jesus is talking about the Father's. Not even death can keep Jesus down. In 3 days, he'll be raised. This temple will be raised. And Paul talks about in Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1:15 says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love together with all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God has put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on his right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and had made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fits all in all. And in the next chapter, he says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens and the saints also, members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are all, who also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So, you too are the temple of God. So again, your bodies are a temple, and together we are a temple for God. So Ephesians declares that Christ's body is the head of the church, and this body grows into a holy temple. So it's not stagnant, it grows. And Lent literally means growth. So this season, the days grow longer, and the grass grows, the trees grow, Everything grows, we grow, as the temple raises up. And, you know, last week, Pastor Judy talked about how we use our gifts and for God's glory, from church cleaning to acolyting to choir singing. Okay, I'm putting the choir singing in. She didn't mention it, but we certainly need them. So we could use your voice. Let's expand that on a little bit today. How can we raise this temple and build on those stones little by little? You know, those gifts that you have, they don't have to be big, or you don't think they have to be big, but they can be used and they can be simple. Simple gifts. That's a song that we sing. Simple gifts. You know, as many of you know, I'm a chaplain for hospice. And here I'm dealing with people who are at the last of their journeys. And I'll pray for them. But you know what? So many of them pray for me. I'm going, wow, you are using your gifts. And so many of you are homebound. And they pray for me. What a gift. They are using their gifts. And they'll pray for Chaplain Bruce. So what gifts can you use? Can you offer to watch children for a family, for parents who want to have a date night and really can't afford a babysitter? Drive someone to an appointment. Drop a card to someone, just a thinking of you. Bake something, make something. Volunteer somewhere. Be a big brother, big sister. Send a note or a card or encouragement to a pastor. She loves you, and I know you love her. Give her a gift card. I can say this, she's not here. She would be embarrassed if she was. You know, that little list I just gave, it's not complete. And it's not very creative. You're a lot more creative than I am. What gifts do you have, temple, body of Christ? I'm sure the Holy Spirit is leading you to raise up God's temple. If Jesus can raise up in 3 days, which isn't easy, and he can raise us up from the dead, which is our promise of eternal life, is one of the reasons we're sitting here. Just think what he can do with this body sitting here today. This body of a living temple. Amen. Okay.
Please stand as we sing together page 269, verses 1 and 4. Lord, who throughout these 40 days? Yeah.
Go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen.